You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. So the real question is, if you knew ahead of time going into it that there was a chance marrying into this family of billionaires who live in basically the Clue mansion, that you might be hunted and killed on your wedding night, would you go ahead and do it anyway? Roll the dice on that one?
Yeah. See,
Clue mansion, that's enough for me. Is Tim Curry still there?
Yeah, you're like, I don't even need the money. I just want to live in that mansion.
Yeah, pretty much.
You had me at billionaires. Done.
Yeah, so you'd roll the dice on that
one.
Oh,
hell yeah.
Plus, you know, if it came down to it and you picked the bad card where they're all going to try and hunt and kill you, you'd murder every single one of them and cackle the whole time.
Well, no, but then it's the you versus them, so one of you's going to die anyway. So it's like, yay, I got married to you. I'm only a gold digger, so that's fine. But if I actually care about this person, then I'm either one of us is screwed.
True, but at that point, you're like, hey, you know what? I'm gonna pick money over the guy. So
why you should never marry for love.
Because that is the moral.
Yes. Yep.
In case
I
this
know,
happens.
God knows I didn't.
Despite what you see in this movie, too, I'm pretty sure once your love of your life serves you up to his family for murder, it kind of ends the relationship.
Yeah, this is a perfect date night movie if you're really, you know, on a first date and trying to figure out where your potential significant other's feelings lie.
Well, you know, no one totally loves their in-laws, so.
Yeah, truth. Right.
So, honey, what do you think of the movie? By the way, how's your mom?
So, great round to see who's here because we got a big crew went to go see this. I'm Chris.
Boom.
Patience.
Mindy.
Ben.
And Mindy's brand new to
Yay!
Highly Suspect
yes,
Reviews.
I am.
Welcome.
Hello.
I brought Jammy Dodgers.
I know you're, yes, you did. We are thankful for the Jammy Dodgers. And you are an old friend of Beau's from theater.
I am. We've never actually acted in anything yet. But we will.
Soon, maybe.
Soon.
Yes, that's how Oscar works.
Mm-hmm. Plus, yeah, you just
you
keep
just
on telling yourself that.
And sooner or later, you'll be in a play together.
You won't know it till the end, but you'll be together.
It's so nice to have another chica on the us, just saying.
Yes.
Girl power. Yeah, more girls.
That means more Jammy Dodgers. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I guess
hey. There
you go.
So
the movie Ready or Not is made by the collective known as the Radio Silence, who I'm actually kind of a fan of.
Yeah.
Ever since the single best chapter of any of the VHS movies, and I believe it was in the first one, where a bunch of guys think that they're going into, like, a fake haunted house for Halloween, and it turns out it's really deeply crazy haunted. And they're like, oh, look at that, that's so cool, I wonder how they did that, but it's actually ghosts and demons and shit.
Yeah. The devil did it.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly. One was good.
It's really, really good, but everybody's been kind of following. They also did the movie Southbound.
I believe. Southbound.
See, I love Southbound, cool. So you're crazy.
If patients didn't like it, it must be a good thing.
Oh, damn.
So, apparently, it was a well-thought-out, plot-driven horror movie.
Well, I liked this one. Let's just put it
there. There wasn't enough gore in this movie for patients to cackle the whole time.
Yeah, I cackled a few times, too.
Oh,
yeah, we cackled side by side.
I was cackling.
There was some double cackle.
I was cackling.
The touching moment that I wanted to punch everyone. Yeah, the entire theater's laughing. I'm like, no, this is a tragic moment. Shut up, you bastards.
We're cackling because we know blood is coming shortly.
Yes. And when it did, it did.
We were talking about Ready or Not. I know a lot of people are really anticipating this film. The trailer, they put together a hell of a good trailer that definitely brought back memories of Clue, of Your Next, of a lot of different things, sort
God,
of about
the slander you just put out there.
Yeah, no, I mean, it really felt like this combination of things. I was like, oh, that's cool, despite the fact
if the butler in this was more like Tim Curry, that would have put this movie from I kind of liked it and thought it was cool to holy shit, this is the best thing to come down the pipe.
I mean, what surprised me about the strong response is because largely this is a cast of people that are definitely no A-list actors in this. They're all sort of like B to C-list actors.
The biggest star is Annie McDowell.
Yeah.
You know, arguably, she's been kind of on a middle rung for a while.
For quite some time.
And even then, she wasn't the lead.
Yeah. No. St. Aldo's Fire, man. She was the object of desire.
That was a long time ago.
But Samara Weaving, I feel like, she's rapidly moving up in the ranks as far as, like, the final girl in horror movies. I think she's been doing a really great job.
I like her. She's definitely sort of like the Margot Robbie stand-in.
Yeah,
she's kind of had a lot of that look going on this
every
movie.
Every time I see her in anything, I'm like, oh, good, Margot Robbie. No, wait, that's not Margot Robbie.
It's Margot Robbie with teeth.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that there wasn't Weifu, because that's one thing I'm worried about in any kind of thriller horror movies, is that you have the female protagonist, and she kicks everybody's ass, even though she weighs 68 pounds, and he's 327, but with one hit. But no, it the way that she took people down actually made sense.
This is unbelievable. Yeah, because she's a badass, but not Mary Sue at all.
She's just sensible shoes.
Yes.
That made me so happy.
I'm putting on my chucks and I'm getting the fuck out of the Satan house. Fuck you guys.
So I was usually at this point going to the plot, but because I know that a sentence in Bo's going to take over anyway, I'm just going to ask him to start.
Just let Bo do it. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Seriously? Yes.
It's so much better when I can interrupt you.
I know you get great pleasure out of it. I'm not going to give it to you.
Well, that's one of the great things about this movie. Is it's only a little longer than an hour and a half, and so it doesn't have a lot of time to waste, and it gets right into it. It starts off with Samara Weaving is getting married into the Le Dumas family, which is basically they're the Milton Bradley family or the Parker brothers, take your choice.
Sure.
They've made a lot of money out of board games, and you know, at this point they've branched out and they own like professional sports teams and that kind of thing. But they're very Tony and well to do. But she is actually in love with her fiance, who is played by Adrian Brody. Adam Brody. Yeah, that would have been a different movie.
Actually, I don't think that's the brother.
Oh, that is Adam Brody. Yeah, that is Daniel.
I think it's Mark O'Brien.
It's Mark O'Brien. I apologize. They're very much in love, or you know, so it would seem. And he's very nervous about her meeting his family, which he has, let us say, issues with.
Yeah. He had run away.
Yeah. And sure enough, they do the wedding at the family estate, and the family is odd to say the least. The most normal one being Annie McDowell, who's the family matriarch, and she's like, hey kid, you know, I like you, you're gonna do fine. Hope all goes well. And you're like, all right, what's going on? And then it comes down to At midnight, there's a special ceremony, and you have to play a game. And the game is determined by they have this mysterious shoe, which was given to their ancestor by a shady character named LaBelle. And you reach into the card shoe, and you pick a card, and that determines what game you're going to play. And they've kind of gone around. And you know, some of the other in-laws are like, oh yeah, I played chess, I played backgammon.
Right.
The card is blank and it writes it for you.
Yeah, exactly, which should be a sign that, you know, Satan.
Yeah, there are insinuations early on that there's, at the very least, the family believes in a mysticism.
There's a diabolical, I mean, Bale is a long time, you know, AKA for old Scratch, Devil, Lucifer.
Or Batman.
Or Batman. No, that's the Batman of Bali Noor.
Or my favorite newsie.
That's Lucifer Bale's enemy, Christian Bale.
Well, you forgot to mention the very beginning of the film. It starts out in a flashback where somebody's getting shot with arrows and being dragged away through the house.
Right.
And that's
a family member.
Yes. And then, wedding!
Yes.
And that is... Seriously, that was the aunt's husband, and the aunt is probably one of my favorite characters.
Old hatchet face.
She's angry.
She's right up there, like she is like Mrs. Blaylock from Rebecca. She's just like, or Frau Blücher from Frankenstein. She's just like, can I get you anything? Some Ovaltine, perhaps?
I love that first scene when she like appears after the wedding. Like, they want you in the parlor.
So the upshot is the card she draws is the dreaded card you can't get, which is that nobody wants and hasn't for, like they said, a couple decades.
I'd say, because hide and seek is a pain in the ass.
Hide and seek. She's like, oh, hide and seek, that's so quaint.
But it has such a badass song to lead into it.
That she doesn't.
On the record.
Yeah.
Plays
phonograph.
Yeah, that's true.
So the point is, if you get that one, the family has to hunt and kill you, and as the myth goes, their founder of their line made a deal with presumably the devil, Mr. LaBelle.
A devil at least.
That like on this night, on the midnight of a wedding, they have to pull out the card, and if it's that, by dawn, they have to sacrifice her, the bride or the groom, if it was to the devil.
Basically, you've got around 6 to 7 hours to kill your new in-law.
Right.
And if that doesn't happen, people that have tried, as it pans out, people that have tried to get around this little caveat,
other families,
they have died inexplicably in perhaps ways too horrible to mention. So the family and the fiance, or at this point the new husband, is, hey man,
can we just address patients cackling as something they don't even show on screen? She's just picturing horrible things happening to strangers right now.
It was awesome.
I mean, there is quite a lovely payoff for this whole thing, to be fair, that I could hear her just like
the last act.
I could hear her in joy, like over there. I was like, Carlos, is she going to be okay? She's just exploding over there, so to speak.
So, and then the rest of the film is basically, she's trying to get the fuck out of there, and mayhem ensues. A lot of, flack is thrown up in her way.
A lot of maids die.
A
lot of maids die.
Man, you do not want to be the help in this house. No. That's all that I'm saying.
You mean Robert Palmer's backup dancers?
Apparently, they were the help in this case is Robert Palmer's backup dancers and the butler from The Nanny.
I think it's funny because at one point, one of the maids was like, I'm not even a maid. He just likes the way I dance. And I was like, Is that a reference to Robert Palmer?
I feel like it was
super meta.
It's like, why are you paying that maid so much? Like, she's so fine, it don't matter where the money went.
Oh, dearie.
Oh, good one.
I love that everyone in this room actually remembers the lyrics to that song.
All she wants to do is dance.
Sorry, confused
and make romance.
What I like about this a lot, and it took a little while for me to completely warm up to it because it's got a kind of slow first act, is that there's a lot of question among some of the family members included, but whether or not there's anything actually to this supernatural aspect of it. Like, is this bullshit? Is this just a thing that's been going on because our patriarch several generations ago was a piece of shit? is any of this true? And some of the family members are reluctant to be involved with this. The husband is like, no, I can't do this. I've got to figure out a way to save you from this. Even though he's split between kind of believing in it and kind of not believing in it, he certainly isn't terribly fond of his family.
Yes, but on the other hand, he doesn't peace out and elope from them either.
They did say if you do that, the shit goes down anyway. So
I will say one of my favorite things in the family, and they picked a good actor for it, Adam Brody being the kind of torn brother.
Yeah.
Yes. But I also love how it's clear the woman he married was purely because he's like, well, you might get killed by my family, so I'm just going to go ahead and marry you. And then even better that she's named Charity.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, the most bitchy woman in this whole family is named Charity.
But they all have their own neat, like, little things they've assigned them as character type things about them that make them funny in their own way or interesting in their own way. And that's what elevates this past the movie I was afraid it was going to be, which was just a chase of generic one-note characters who just get killed off one by one. Like, no, they actually brought a lot of humor to it by making them also have like multiple tics and weirdnesses about them.
That kind of also is a bit of a negative for me because they were so interesting with their little tics. I wanted to know more about them, but the focus wasn't on them. I wanted to know about Cokehead's sister and Otho from Beetlejuice. I wanted to know about bitchy sister-in-law. I wanted to know who these people were other than the evil Adams family. But there was no point in the movie where I got to know them and how they, you know, got entangled in this family. And for me, I thought that would have been delicious, but at the same time, I kind of understand why they didn't go into
it. In a lot of the ways, it's like one of the two main families on Soap trying to, like, commit a satanic act of murder.
True.
They are the most really works.
They are some of the most incompetent killers in a movie in the best ways. Well, yeah. Like, even only the butler's the competent one. He basically does, like, he's like, oh, okay, I'm not a part of this till I actually have to be a part of this.
Well, I mean, part of the whole ritual is they go in, they have the room only families allowed in where they do the game. And it's loaded with antique weaponry. Like, antique weaponry. And part of the thing is, like, yeah, we only use the antique weapons. And so they're all like, because this is most, all but, like, a few of them have never been in a situation where they had to play this version, where they had to hunt and kill someone. So they don't know how to work a fucking medieval crossbow. Like, and that's, like, one of the many little funny bits.
Last wedding we played backgammon and sacrificed a goat. This isn't fair.
And then when she tries to use the elephant gun, it's like, yeah, the ammo's fake. That's just for show, dude.
Although there's that moment, she finds the elephant gun and she's loading the ammo. It's like, I can't wait to see how this plays out.
Honestly, if only.
Yeah, what they could have done with this movie, considering what they do in the later scenes, like, there could have been so much fun with that elephant gun.
I need more servants.
definitely needed
more
servants.
Backup dancers.
I would have liked it if there were, like, 10 servants, because... 10 more body count.
Right.
The servants are revolting. Say that again. Damn, what one of those is.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of fun to be had here. I certainly wish that the theater we had seen it in had bothered to not project this through a candlelight, because Jesus Christ.
Oh, man.
There's, like, scenes like the beginning where they're showing you all these board games the family made, and you have to, like, squint your hardest to read them because
it's kind of blurry.
Yeah, if you were at a local theater that does this, that buys super cheap bulbs, actually complain. Complain to the management, write letters, because unless people actually say something, that's not going to change, and they're going to keep doing this shit. Or just don't go to theaters that do that. Go to ones that refuse to do that, like the Alamo Draft House or Flex Brew House or places like that. Support places that actually go, no, we are, like, we think there's something important about making this how it's intended to be seen. Anyway, sorry, off soapbox.
No, I like the pretty pictures, too.
Yes.
That said, having the very first picture be like a Joker card, I was immediately brought in. It's like, okay, this is evil and fantastical at the same time. I'm stoked.
for like 5 minutes and for like a hot second there, I was like, oh, wait, is this Carter Beats the Devil? This is going to be great.
Man, they totally should make a movie of Carter Beats the Devil.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I'm surprised that hasn't happened already. All right, well, let's talk real quick about our final thoughts. And because we had a big crowd, so let's go around. Bo, get us started.
Oh, God. yeah, this is they're not reinventing the wheel too much, but they are buying a very nice wheel, maybe a run-flat wheel, something futuristic, that's got, a couple of new angles on it that you haven't seen before. It is kind of a Final Girl, chase situation. But they throw enough wrenches in it that they take you around to an interesting place. And really what sells this movie is its, use of humor and tension, both of which it does effectively. And by the end, you're definitely rooting for, the protagonist all the way through, but you really get a lot of satisfaction at the end. This is a really fun movie. It's definitely going to go into my
the all-time classics.
All-time classics, or really even like purest Halloween fare, but in the weeks of September that lead up to Halloween, this might be something that would go into my rotation.
The bachelor party.
yeah, exactly. You know, because this is, it is a little bit more of a thriller than a horror film, but it does have some great gory moments in it, and there's definitely a supernatural aspect of it, which ends up being one of the funnest things about it. And, man, I'm really glad movies are really getting shameless about people being Satan worshippers again, and I'm here for it. It's fucking awesome.
Satanic Panic Part 2.
Exactly. So, yeah, I found this really enjoyable, not a classic, but definitely not a waste of time either. I give it 8 possibly toxic lead figurines from your old Clouset.
Patience.
I agree with those.
Mark this day down in your calendars, ladies and gentlemen.
The final seal has been broken. The end days are upon us.
Well, time to get my sword.
I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was just a fun, fun movie. I think it balanced really well between the comedy, the action, and you know I'm a gore whore, y'all. And the gore is fucking great in this. I would say that it's definitely going to go up there. I wouldn't put it up there with, like, Cabin in the Woods or, sure, you know, anything like that, or, like, you know, Evil Exorcist Dead 2. Yeah. Or Evil Dead 2 or anything like that. But it's definitely up there for me because it really ticked a lot of boxes. I think Samara Weaving has an amazing career ahead of her. I loved her, and she was in, what, Mayhem, right?
I believe so, yeah. Which is great.
Which was amazing. Yeah. And then she plays a very similar role in Mayhem, I think, than she did in this movie. And then she was also... Was she in The Babysitter?
I don't remember. I think so, maybe.
I can't remember. I think she was in The Babysitter.
I'll look it up. Keep talking.
Okay. So I'm sold on this movie. It was just a fun movie. It's definitely the kind of movie you want to sit around with your friends and watch as a group, drinking or, you know, whatever you imbibe. So I'm going to give it 2 Robert Palmer backup dancers and a severed head out of 3.
Oh, God.
Benjamin.
Yeah, this one, Chris kind of hit the nail on the head earlier about the trailer. It really kind of sold me on, like, You're Next. And there's a lot of energy to that in this movie. I agree with Chris as well that it takes a little long to get there. It's a little slow and uneven at the start. When it gets the first kill in the movie, it's a pretty good brutal one, but it then kind of just the pace dies out again. And it kind of rolls with that for a while. But when it gets things right, dear God, does it get things right. There's so many great laughs in this movie. The Auntie Helene character, she's like the best old woman haircut with a scowl. It's just like, it's like a shark just sneaking up behind people with gray hair. It's fantastic. She's walking around with a giant axe the whole movie. It's like, they get, the guys making this movie totally get the visuals and get the comedic timing, which is a hard thing to get in a dark comedy like this, because clearly they get the gore, but a lot of people get one or the other. And they kind of got both when they wanted to work. The last act it's just like a barreling freight train of just great times for a horror fan, and it kind of brings you right back. Any weakness it had, it brings it back. Probably not going to put it at the top of my list, like we've been saying, but it's something that could probably make my, like, 31 Days of Halloween, watch it again, cycle it every few years type of thing. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 murderous creepy children.
What about you, Mindy?
Well, as somebody who isn't really a horror person and who is much more of a thriller person, I kind of liked the opposite things that you liked about it. So it's like, I was kind of okay with the gore. It's like, all right, somebody gets exploded, whatever. But I was surprised at how invested I was in the characters and how invested I was in that main relationship in particular. And, you know, when there's this moment between them where it's make or break their relationship, it broke my heart, and everybody else laughed because you're all soulless bastards.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah. So
stick around for a while.
Yeah. You'll see.
So I kind of...
And by the way, before you leave, you got to draw a card.
Oh, so. Got it.
And that's how love works.
Right. So I really, like I said earlier, I really wanted to know more about who the other cast of characters were, like what their backstory was and the history of the family. So that's kind of why it's like, yeah, I enjoyed it, but like everybody else, it's like, it's not numero uno, but very enjoyable, very compelling. And I appreciated that, yes, this is a formulaic, you know, hunter versus hunted, but it had enough nuance to it to make it interesting. So, on the rating system, I would say three women running through the woods and one with no leg out of 5.
Fair. Yeah, I This movie honestly took me a little while to get into. Right off the bat, I'm in love with the house. I'm like, yes, please. Yeah. This is the house I want to live in. Did need more secret doors. Was very disappointed by the lack of secret passages and doors.
There's
in this
a fair
movie.
Bit. They just didn't use them
there's,
more than
there's
once.
There's a reference at one point, like, where'd that girl come from? Oh, it's a servant's entrance. You just can't really see it. It's like, a secret door? That's literally the only secret door in the whole movie. And I was like, this house doesn't have more. There should be a fireplace that revolves around. There should be the book out of the library.
They only have those in England. Fuck off.
Well, I don't know.
Does it go to the conservatory?
I know if I had that much money, my house would be fucking lousy.
They had
with,
two
like,
kitchens. Isn't that enough for you?
My house would be lousy with secret passages and
then
death
I
traps.
Go to the moon.
Well, yeah. Why are you going? Oh, wait, that was private, Bo. I think that the cast is fun. I imagine what this would have been like with an even more with an even better cast, because a lot of these actors are like they're kind of at the point like television actors to some degree, and which isn't always a bad thing. But you know what I'm
saying?
Yes, the damn Canadians get a damn Canucks. But imagine what this would be like. I want this movie to be a huge hit, so they do a sequel about another family that is a similar situation, but this was popular enough, it attracts A-list talent to it.
They did
I would
allude
love
to
see
more
that.
Families.
Yeah, they said, we are far from the only family who've made a deal with this guy and have to do similar things. I would totally watch a sequel to this about a new family. I think Samara Weaving, I agree with you. I think she's got a lot of potential in her future. She carries this movie completely. The camera, she's in almost every scene in the film. Yeah. There's a few scenes that go off and deal with other members of the family. But they, like I said, they were smart enough to actually spend just enough time with the rest of the family to give them all memorable personalities. You definitely knew who each member was. Nobody faded into the woodwork except the help, which are supposed to. I didn't find this, like, the gore, it's not super gory, but when it does it, it's effective. There's a couple of those, like, you can see it coming moments that the audience is like, no, 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 don't do it. And then they do it, and you're like, that was awesome. I live for that evil patient's cackle. the gory Schadenfreude. But yeah, this is a lot of fun. I wish it had, I felt like the first act needed a little more punch up, a little something more to get you into it, because there really is a point, like, if you're one of those people, and I know these people, I think they're weird, who, like, if they're 15 minutes into a movie and they're not totally in love with it, they turn it off. And those people aren't going to finish this movie. They're going to be like, okay, well, this just looks kind of by the book, whatever. Which is a shame, because if you stick with it, once this ball really starts rolling, it starts getting bigger and bigger going downhill till the end, you're just having a great fucking time. I mean, the whole third act of this is like amazing, like so great, and it has one of my favorite like just wrap-ups of any movie like this for a while. Like where it fucking ends it, I was cackling right next to Faye. It was for awesome. Like about 5 minutes straight.
Everyone's like looking at us. Like, what
probably
the fuck is so. Wrong
there's
with
the
you?
Future serial killers of America, ladies and gentlemen. So I like this a lot. I'm gonna give it 8 out of 10. Really cool and creepy board games that I wish I had in my collection.
Right.
You know, there's one thing this movie is missing at the end. It's just the butler walking out of silly grace. Satanism was just a red herring.
Nice.